At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty has been commemorated with the launch of a new postage stamp. And author Joseph O'Connor joins me now to explain the significance of all of this. I'm really delighted to have you on the programme, Joseph, a huge fan. Tell me about Hugh O'Flaherty. He's a really fascinating historical figure that I think Irish people should really know about.
He is, Ciara, yes. It's lovely to be with you today to talk about Hugh. So he's an amazing man. He was born in Kishkeen, County Cork in 1898 and grew up in Killarney, where his father was a golf professional. So he grew up kind of on the golf course in Killarney and went to Mungret College in Limerick, where he became a teacher after he'd been a student there. And 100 years ago this year, he was ordained as a Catholic priest. And he went off to the Vatican. He was a scholarly fellow, Ciara. He acquired 3 doctorates in the course of his life. And I think that's what he would have liked to do. He loved his teaching and studying and reading the holy books in the Vatican Library. But he's there in Rome in 1939. Second World War starts. The Italians change sides in 1943. The Nazis come closer and closer to Rome. And as your listeners who've been to Rome will know, the Vatican City is actually an independent state. It's one of the world's smallest countries, 0.6 of a square mile. And Hugh realized that if he could smuggle people into the Vatican, which was a neutral country during the Second World War, he would be able to save them from the Nazi tyranny. So he put together a small group of 7 or 8 other activists, people from very different walks of life. To him, women as well as men, people of different nationalities, different faith perspectives. And over the course of the 10-month Nazi occupation of Rome, this little group of people may have saved up to 7,000 fugitives from the Nazis. So there are people walking around in the world today because of what this great man did during those 10 months at enormous personal risk. In a very, very dangerous situation, surrounded by disapproval and peril. So it's an amazing story. Go ahead.
Do we have any sense of what motivated him, I suppose, to do what he did and to take those risks without official sanction, I would imagine, from the Vatican?
Well, the Vatican was opposed. Obviously, the Germans who occupied the city of Rome were violently opposed. And even the Dublin government back at home were neutral during the war, so they weren't at all happy about what Hugh O'Flaherty was doing. But he continued to do it. I think partly it was his faith. He had a kind of motto which recurs in his writings. And I've had the opportunity to read all of those, thanks to the generosity of his family. When I was researching 2 novels that I've written about Hugh, My Father's House and The Ghosts of Rome, he had this motto, God has no country. So he was able to look past uniforms and flags and languages and ideologies and just look at the person behind them all. So I think it was partly that. I think it was kind of stubbornness. And then I think he just had this very strong moral compass that he wouldn't have been able to live with himself if he hadn't acted by his conscience. Now, all of that is surmising a bit, Ciara, because he was also a modest, quiet man. He retired to Carrisaveen, County Kerry, after the war. He very, very rarely talked about his heroism during the Second World War. And a lot of the time when people asked him what he had done, he would say, not enough. So he was a quiet, modest, scholarly man. But when the chips were down, he did a lot for these poor fugitives who were terrified and on the run, starving often. I mean, this is an era when the Nazis occupying Rome are weaponizing food. So if there's too much displeasure from the populace, you know, there are no food rations this week. And he was in mortal danger. His Hugh's priesthood would not have saved him. We know that the Gestapo murdered at least two Catholic priests in the course of the 10-month occupation. And it was made quite clear to him again and again that if he set foot outside the boundary of the Vatican State into Rome, and if he was caught, he would be in a concentration camp. So we can surmise as to his motivations. They may have been mixed. He never spoke about them much. But it's a really remarkable story of personal courage and commitment to people who were in mortal danger.
And speaking of those risks and speaking of the danger, do we know, were there any close calls?
Oh, yes, there were many, many close calls. I mean, Hugh was famous. The wording on the stamp refers to him as the Vatican Pimpernel. Must be the first time the word Pimpernel has ever appeared on a stamp anywhere. But he was famous for going around Rome in disguise. He'd be dressed up as postmen and coal heavers and waiters. And he was came very, very close to being arrested by the Gestapo on many occasions, but was able to outwit them, I think, partly because of his remarkable love and affection for the city of Rome, which have tried to make him a character in the two books, In My Father's House and The Ghosts of Rome. He knew every little alleyway and back street and hidden way around the place, because his great hobby was to walk around Rome. He what comes across in the letters is just this huge affection for this fascinating city and its highways and byways. He loved looking at people and Italian music and the movies, and he loved living there. So he had the kind of superior knowledge of the place and its hidden ways around that the occupying army would never have. But he did come very close on occasions to being detained by the Gestapo, yeah.
You mentioned the two books that were inspired by Hugh O'Flaherty. I'm wondering when you first learned about him and what was it about him that sort of spoke to you and that meant that you wanted to use him as the inspiration for your works?
I first heard of him years and years ago, Ciara, maybe 30 years ago when I was a young fella just starting out in writing. I went to the world famous Listowel Writers' Week down in Listowel, County Kerry. And I think the world's oldest literary festival, a remarkable event. And at some point over that weekend, somebody told me about this man from, as I said, born in Cork, but very much thought himself as a Kerry man, and the extraordinary work that he had done. And it just stayed in my mind. I started to research him. Every time I looked, there seemed to be the same kind of information about him repeated over and over. And I just, there was something about his stubbornness and his doggedness and his determination to live by his sympathy for the underdog that just kind of stayed with me. And then around the time of the COVID lockout, the first COVID lockout, I can remember just my interest in him kind of intensifying. And it was strangely connected to that, Ciara. Like, you remember yourself how we were all living in Ireland under being circumscribed, if you like, not being able to go too far from the house. There was the 5 kilometre radius and then the 2 kilometre radius. And then suddenly, we're not used to this in Ireland, but the Irish police could stop you and ask you where you were going. If you said you were going to the shops, they could ask you for who were you going to the shops for. So I would by no means compare it to the awful sufferings, obviously, that people went through in Rome. But it did give some tiny little shred of an idea of what it was like to live within a very kind of closed set of borders for a while and to be told where you can go and where you couldn't. So I had always been interested in him, but some strange process was connected with COVID and the lockdown made me come back to his story with a kind of further passion and intensity.
And you said there, Joseph, you were fortunate enough to read his own surviving letters when you were researching your novels. And he was a keen letter writer. In fact, letters played a part in leading him into his activism. How do you think he would feel now seeing his face on this stamp, travelling around the world on letters?
Yeah, I think he was a great letter writer, and I've read all of his letters. A witty, kind of watchful writer, and actually a journalist for a while after the war. Hugh wrote a column for the Daily Express in the UK for a couple of years, and he was our man in the Vatican. And he was a good journalist with a good eye for a detail and a human story. So I think that he would be tickled to see his face on a stamp. And letters played a big part in his life. But he was a modest man, as I say, so I think he might also blush a little. But I think for his family and for the Hugh O'Flaherty Appreciation Society, who are based in Killarney, it's a wonderful moment of recognition for a man who really was the best of us in Ireland, and who stood up for people when they were weak and very, very friendless, at huge risk to himself. But also, as I say, just had that modesty, wasn't looking for any kind of glory out of it, and after the war spoke about it very little. So I think he'd be both delighted and a bit embarrassed. But I think for all of us who are Hugh O'Flaherty's admirers, but particularly for the family and the people who've been supporting his cause for years, it's a lovely way to honour him.
Thanks to Joseph O'Connor for highlighting the story of Hugh O'Flaherty.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.